Welcome to Light News Radio, health and self-empowerment for the whole human being. Featuring your host, Dr. J, proprietor of Light News, author, spiritual counselor, international lecturer, and co-host, Deirdre Layton, minister, energy facilitator, and spiritual counselor. Today, they support individuals to master their own uniqueness and divine karmic path. Light News Radio features strategies on how to overcome the obstacles of today's belief systems to become awakened and self-empowered. And now, here are your hosts, Dr. J and Deirdre Layton.
Welcome, everyone, to our February 11th broadcast. Our show today has been pre-recorded to accommodate my esteemed colleague, guest, and friend, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson's very busy schedule. This is one of those shows you will want to re-listen to again and again, as my dear friend Dr. Thompson is a font of knowledge on the science of healing with sound, vibration, and frequency. And it's very interesting, too, because as Deirdre and I were looking over Dr. Thompson's website to give a sort of a bio introduction, it's actually quite lengthy, so we had to kind of truncate it down to about 3 hours worth of introduction. But I think, you know, like with most things, we just let the man speak for himself and everything becomes self-evident. So, Deirdre, how are you doing today?
I'm actually doing really great. I'm, you know, over the cold that I've been fighting, and hopefully, you know, I won't have to go back in that silly, crazy boot again. And, you know, all these things are moving along and getting back into the swing. But
For those of you that don't know, you know, Deirdre has had a problem with her right foot in that one of the nerves has been kind of flattened out. And so they put her in what they call an air cast, which is kind of a stiffened boot with Velcro. You know, the real reason is because she kicks ass so much that she's had to give her foot a rest.
That's right.
And they just put her in a boot to kind of give it a rest. But she's ambilextrist, so she can actually kick ass with her left foot too. So it really doesn't save me much. But anyway, we like to tell the truth on Light News Radio, because it is realms of self-empowerment.
That's right. If you can't, you know, if you can't have fun with life, what can you have? So let's have some fun with life. You know, you're going to interview a fellow who's been around, and this sounds awful, but he's been around the block. He's been around for a while, and that's a really nice thing. So, you know, we try to bring on to this radio show people who have topics or ideas that will be out there to enlighten the individual and to really help self-empower them. And we don't just, you know, this is, well, I hate to say it, but Dr. Thompson is our first male besides Richard on the show. And so this is going to be really nice when we have a more variety of guests on our show. And I hope that we're getting a large spectrum of self-help tools and tools to enlighten yourself or to self-empower, self-realization, anything along those lines to really help you become a spiritually developed individual on your own path.
Right. We want to move beyond the distractions and vague belief systems that are out there and offer to our public a grounded spirituality. And so we seek to bring people whom we interview who already have done a lot of self-actualization and self-realization, and people who are actually walking their talk. And that's what Light News Radio is really all about. You can hear people calling in already. or either that, or it's Deirdre just silencing her phone.
I forgot to silence my phone. It's silent.
But the thing is, in order to make a radio program really, really viable and not just a talking head, is we got to move away from the tinfoil hat brigade and the flat earth society, you know, and really get into the meat of what spirituality is. And even though my dear friend Jeff, he's very scientifically trained, he's extremely esoterically knowledgeable. So, Deirdre, would you mind to go ahead and read a little of the bio of Dr. Thompson?
Sure, I can do that. So we're going to welcome today our guest speaker or our guest interviewee, and he is Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, a doctor of chiropractic medicine and a bachelor of fine arts. He's the founder and director for the Center of Neuroacoustic Research in Carlsbad, California. You'll have to disregard me for mispronouncing things. I still have a little bit of a cold, it sounds like. So he's a physician, a musician, a composer, a science, a researcher, educator, author, and visionary. What else can I say? He's certified in multiple healthcare modalities, coupled with his natural talents and scientific approach to healing. So he draws people nationally, internationally to his clinical practice and to his auditory, kinesthetic, and visual therapy products and work. Oh my goodness, that's a mouthful. He lectures widely on the use and benefits of sound and presents at conferences, offers courses, seminars globally, and he's acclaimed for his mind-body harmonious brainwave entrainment program for sleep, healing, creativity, meditation, personal growth, and the list goes on. So, you know, Dr. Thompson has had many, many accomplishments, and I think that having such an honored guest here today, you know, is really good. I see a little side note on my papers here, and it says here that what you think you created, invented, dreamed up anew. Remember that universal principle of GDIFADIB. I had to look at it twice, and then I realized God did it first and did it better. I love that quote. And that was on the sidelines of what I was to read for a bio today.
Yeah, I took that off of the Facebook, one of Jeff's many quotes.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So Dr. Thompson can be found at the Center for Neuroacoustic Research. And his website is scientificsounds.com or neuroacoustic.com. And this time, I guess I would like to invite him on. Are you there, sir?
I'm here. I had to take my tinfoil hat off, though, since you mentioned that.
That's okay. We took ours off just moments before the show, risking the radiation.
Yeah, you can't.
And by the way, that is the principle of Gedifidib.
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 People go, what the heck is that? It's the fact that, you know, the universe did it first and did it better. And it's already been worked out, and there's no patent, there's no copyright, so plagiarize.
Exactly. We're all emanations of the sublime.
The more you plagiarize, the less trouble you get in.
Oh, I see. Oh, great.
Humans haven't quite learned that lesson quite yet.
Well, I don't know if you're fully quite human yet either, you know, Jeff. I've known you for 20 years, and I'm still undecided because you bringing so much onto this earth plane that people are going, what? How does he do that? And how does he know all that?
No, it's just kind of one thing leads to another.
I think
okay, so anyway, what do you have for me? You have a question or something? Or
oh, no. No, we were just going to let you wander a bit.
No, that's a big mistake.
Well, actually, you started your chiropractic practice in Virginia, and you moved to California in the mid-80s. And so what started you on your journey to desire to use sound and vibration for your healing practice?
Well, I was a musician since I was a kid and kind of an artist. I went to art school, thought I was going to be an artist, and went out and had some businesses. Went back to chiropractic college when I was 29, so I kind of been in the world already. And going to chiropractic college was more of a part of a spiritual journey than it was to go to become a chiropractor, because I'd never even been to a chiropractor when I went to school, if you can imagine such a thing.
Wow.
It had to do more with, you know, recognizing from an esoteric standpoint that the body is a textbook of universal law. And therefore, I wanted to see what humanity had discovered about the body in its, like, kind of nth degree of detail, which you can really only get by going to medical school or something, you know? And chiropractic school is basically medical school without the drugs and the surgery.
Right.
It's all set, the standards are set by the U.S. government. So taking anatomy and physiology courses and learning it in great detail, and then realizing the only way I could really learn it was to draw it, because I'm a right-brained artistic type. And so that's how I studied and learned it. And then other students saw those drawings, and before you know it, I'm putting myself through school as a medical illustrator. But
oh,
it cemented it in my mind, that way of learning, how do I learn, and then going for that, then it became kind of easy. But anyway, after I graduated and got into practice, I realized now I was in a position where I could do something I always wanted to do. That's make an album as a composer and a musician. So I took my first bank loan out in my whole life. That was in end of 1980, 81, something like that. And bought myself a lot of equipment for a little recording studio, put it in my spare room. And after it was all set up, the first thing I did was work on my wife on her low back, because that's the room I used to do, to pop the table open and do that. So I pop the table open, she's on the table, and I'm surrounded by all this sound equipment. So I consider this to be a setup.
Right.
I was shamelessly set up by the universe as a whole. I kind of believe I've got this circle of elders up there whose job it is to look out for me. So they kind of do these setups every once in a while. So anyway, I'm standing there, I'm going, I wonder if I can make a chiropractic adjustment with a sound wave.
Oh.
Kind of based on the idea of a wine glass. The fifth lumbar, let's say, is a certain shape, density, and mass that's different from any other vertebra. And I should be able to find a very specific frequency that makes it resonate. And so I kind of set that experiment up, and it worked. And that was that little decision that dropped into my brain, and carrying it out and seeing it worked was, for me, one of those big moments. You know, you never know when those big moments are going to come, but when they do, they seem like a small decision that turns out to be one of the biggest decisions you ever made. Because my life changed from that moment on. It's when I saw it happen, it was like, oh my God, well, what?
What else can,
let's try that again with another vertebra and see if that works at a different frequency. And it did. And then it's, well, wait a second, what about cranial work? Now I can target a specific cranial bone that's very difficult to get to otherwise. Or what about an organ?
Right.
Or what about a meridian? What about an emotion?
Wow.
And so, as Tesla and Einstein said, everything is frequency, energy, and vibration.
All energy and frequency. Well, sound is interesting. You've seen, you know, the standard kind of picture of the total electromagnetic spectrum of everything in the universe, right? And down at one end there's low frequencies, and at the other end there's super high frequencies. You know, you've got down at the one end you've got you know, things like television rays and radio frequencies, and then it's X-rays, and at certain point there's color frequencies in the angstrom range, and higher than that is gamma rays and cosmic rays, and they keep getting faster all the way up. There's one thing in the universe that's not on that scale. Everything's on the scale except for one thing, and that one thing is sound. Sound is not electromagnetic. It's a mechanical energy wave. It's a pure energy wave that moves through the universe, moves through components in the universe, like we call it a medium. So when I talk to somebody, I'm vibrating vocal cords by blowing breath across them and creating sound waves. And sound waves are a wave of energy, a mechanical energy wave that's moving through the air molecules.
Now, sound, if I'm correct, then, but sound wave moves through anything, does it not? Like, it's not...
Yes, it has to move through a medium. So usually it's through air molecules. We hear it with our ears. sound travels through water 5 times better than it does through air, because the water molecules or a fluid molecule is more densely packed than air molecules. So the sound travels better, easier. And sound travels through a solid 5 times better than it does through a fluid, because a solid has got molecules even more densely packed, you know. So that's why you would choose a certain type of hardwood for the body of a violin than you would a softwood, because the hardwood molecules of the wood are more densely packed than a softwood, so it transmits better. And on
like that.
So if you think about it, and you know, my experience has been that sound is the most powerful thing I've come up against as far as a healing property. And in Virginia, you know, I had gotten a job in the largest holistic health center in Virginia, and it was an incredible place to be. There, we had a huge section for and a full-time person for colon therapy, colonics. We had a blood lab. We had a huge section for biomagnetic therapy, and we had a bunch of very expensive pieces of equipment for generating magnetic fields. One of the first clinics in the country to have a laser acupuncture device. It was that kind of incredible atmosphere that I was able to take this first experience I had of adjusting a vertebra with a sound wave and take it to this clinic and start experimenting with it, with patients, you know.
That's
wonderful.
Amazing.
And that preempted you to move to California then, is that right?
Yeah, there was two parallel courses that happened, adjusting vertebrae and cranials and then meridians and then organs and all these kind of things. and parallel to that, I was making my first album. And that began to change, because I'm now thinking about sound in a completely different way than I ever had my whole life before. I mean, before that, it was looking at sound as music, not as sound. You're looking at it as music.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking at the sound portion of music as a separate thing, aside from music. Now I'm looking at sound itself as a cosmic phenomenon, as a phenomenon of nature, a phenomenon of physics, and its direct effect on living systems. And the keyboard that I bought, you know, these electronic keyboards you buy in a music store, is probably one of the most sophisticated electronic devices for producing sound that you could imagine. You know, the little keyboard I buy from a music store, I can tune between C and C sharp by 100 steps with a digital readout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's amazing. It's like a scientific instrument for producing sound.
Well, it's interesting, you know, as you're going and explaining all of this, you know, to our listeners, you know, because what I'm really understanding from what you're saying and what I know about sound is that it focuses on so many different levels to a person. It affects you spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, it does, and it's not necessarily, you know, like a sound as a recording of a note on a piano, but it could be a thunderstorm, it could be a wave in the ocean, it could be just listening to a NASA recording from space.
It's all these different things, and it has, I think, the possibility of the deepest impact at our deepest unconscious level. And the reason I say that is because as a physician who illustrated embryology, I still remember all that stuff. I mean, at 16 weeks, when you're in the womb and you're about the length of, you know, 3/4 of the length of your hand, that's how big you are. And you're floating in body temperature amniotic fluid. You're in a float tank, right? If anybody who's listening has ever been in a float tank, you know, you float in this salty water that floats you up high so you don't get the water in your nose. And you're in the dark. They close the lid, you're in the dark. And you're floating weightless. And the brain has constant input. So when it gets no input, it invents input. So you begin to hallucinate. You start to hear things. You start to see things. And you're there for an hour. Transformational experience. But essentially, we're in a float tank for 9 months.
Right.
That's why we're all so crazy, right?
So true.
I've been through deprivation chamber for 9 months. But
I think so.
But if you think about it for a minute, okay, so I'm floating in this amniotic fluid, and that means that at 16 weeks, when the brain development has happened to a point where all five senses first come online, I'm in the dark, so my eyes aren't working. They've turned on, but there's nothing to see. And so, my nose and my tongue, they're working, but there's nothing to smell and nothing to taste because my nose and mouth are filled with fluid.
Right.
But sound travels through water five times better than it does through air. That means the only sense that is collecting information is sound and vibration sense through my skin, largest organ in my body. So vibration sense is completely separate from hearing. It's four skin sensor nerve bundles in the skin that are sensitive to various bandwidths of vibrational frequencies. And over all four of those nerve bundles in my skin, they're sensitive altogether between 0.3 hertz and 500 hertz. So that's what the body considers to be vibration sense. And they communicate to huge tracts in the posterior one-third of the spinal cord and go travel up the spinal cord to special neurons in the brainstem and then cross over and go into the cortex. So even if I'm deaf, I can feel vibrations of 500 hertz and below. So when Beethoven went deaf, he composed three new symphonies, and he heard those symphonies by sawing the legs off his grand piano and laying on the floor with his head on the piano. And he was hearing it through bone conduction, through a solid.
Wow.
Sound frequencies through a solid in his bone, in his skull bones.
So would you say that then the first sense that anyone would definitely develop would be the sense of sound?
Correct. It's the very first thing that all of us have in common as the first experience of being alive. Well, maybe the first experience of being alive would be consciousness wakes up somewhere, right? At some point, consciousness wakes up, and you're in the void. Okay, here I am, but who am I and where am I?
What am I?
And nobody exactly knows when that happens. But at some point, then there's the first sensation you ever have.
Right.
And the very first thing you ever have is a sensation outside of your own mind waking up is a sensation of sound and vibration. And it's amplified by five times. And it lasts for 9 months.
That's amazing.
Experience. And so when you look at all the great religions on earth, all of their texts, their holy texts, pretty much say the same thing. In the beginning was the word.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in the beginning was the vibration.
Right.
And then there was light. And then there was electromagnetic frequencies after.
Right.
First, there was the mechanical energy wave that came from something. Even if you believe in the Big Bang, right? The Big Bang forms a ripple that moves across space-time. And that ripple is a mechanical energy wave. It's not an electromagnetic wave.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Scientists have even talked about a great sound that comes from the galactic center that is, I think, a low D note that's many, many, many times below the level of human hearing.
Yeah.
But
my joke is, of course, in the beginning was the word, but language hadn't been invented yet.
Right. That's right.
Well,
I wish I had that when I wrote my paper. That quote, I love it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shoot.
There's an elephant in the room. Can you tell? We have that dead silence everywhere. I wanted to ask you for our listeners and whatnot. So, can you explain just a little bit about what as an expert in psychoacoustics and neuroacoustics, can you explain to our listeners just a little bit about what that is? in like a
psychoacoustic
in a broad spectrum, so that I mean not everybody.
Yeah. So first of all, psychoacoustics has already a definition, and it's the study of sound and its effect on human beings. That's this kind of baseline Wikipedia kind of definition. And then there's a popular definition that has arisen aside from that. And that's the property of using sound to change consciousness. And kind of more in the way that we're seeing it happen with various people who are putting healing CDs out there, healing soundtracks out there. And that brings in this whole phenomenon of brainwave entrainment and how we can do something with sound to entrain our brainwaves to different states of consciousness.
Would you say on a professional level that the neuroacoustics, the brainwave entrainment and all of that, it has been around for a long time? Like I've done a little bit of back research and whatnot, and I'm seeing that, you know, certain sacred sites around the world seem to have these beautiful chambers, and even certain, tribes around the world have had, you know, healing centers that are you know, caves or dobies or whatever, where they have used sound as healing for centuries.
And that involves, excuse me, what tone you happen to be playing and what instrument you have that you're using to make that tone. Because every kind of instrument sound that you might want to play, whether it's some kind of a horn or some kind of a stringed instrument, is going to have a unique type of quality of sound. In other words, a cello sounds different than a banjo, and a flute sounds different than an oboe. And why they sound different is because of the harmonics and the overtones that make up that sound, the complexity inside that sound. So any given sound that you have is really made up of hundreds or even thousands of microtones. And those tones are all mixing together mathematically and forming what we call the timbre of the sound, why the sound sounds like it sounds. And that's the same thing with human voice. Your voice and my voice and Richard's voice, this is a perfect example, because each time each of the three of us talk on this program, anyone who's listening can easily distinguish that when Richard talks and when you talk and when I talk, because our voice sound like us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reason it sounds like that is because of the timbre of your voice. And the reason that sounds like that is because the tissue mass of your vocal cords is unique in the universe. Your body is a unique event.
And your voice is your consciousness.
It's all part of the same thing. Anything other than that is semantics, that names and definitions that people made up to divide the universe into an infinite number of finite pieces and then believe that there's all these different pieces, and it's not.
Right.
It's an illusion. But this idea that the timbre of my voice made up of all these harmonics and the harmonics of my vocal cords form why my voice sounds like me, that extends beyond just my vocal cords. It's in all the tissues of my body. That harmonic set, harmonics and overtones, is everywhere. It's just my voice is a place where I can blow air across those tissue mass strings, make them vibrate, and then analyze it in a computer and see the harmonics. If I supply those harmonics, if I take my voice and I feed it back into my own body, if I sing my voice through a microphone and stand next to the big speaker so it comes back into me, then I have this feedback of something that's powerful, powerfully recognizable.
And you're talking about some of the work that you do with people that I've heard you call biotuning.
Yeah, so in that biotuning, we're using your voice as the instrument for healing your body. And because we've got these fantastic electronics now, we can take a recording of your voice singing a frequency that is has a unique ability to do something to balance and heal you, and feed it back into your body through a special design table with big transducers in it. So now you're laying on top of a big speaker, and we're playing a recording of your voice back into your body, but we're slowing it down, so we're hitting the low frequencies, so we're activating the vibration sense and organs in your body. And now we have a correct frequency plus all of its harmonics and overtones matching because of my voice coming back into me. And when the voice is slowed down by a certain amount, I can't recognize it as my voice anymore rationally. But my body can recognize it. And who in my body recognizes it is the deepest part of my unconscious mind, the part of me, my biological organic intelligence that knows how to grow my body out of two cells, differentiate all the tissues, make them all run on automatic, and that's happening right now for all of us. And
right.
I consider that to be my true, real identity, my actual consciousness. And who I think I am, rational thinking mind, is not me. It's a tool that was grown by me for certain parts of my survival, filling out tax forms and job applications, social intercourse.
All that other important stuff, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's a muscle that got overused because it's used all the time, more than all the other muscles I have. So my rational thinking mind gets exercised all the time, so now it's Arnold Schwarzenegger'd up, and the rest of me is a 90-pound weakling. and the right. muscled-up part of my personality thinks it's me.
Right.
And that's totally incorrect. It's not me. You know, it's like, who I think I am is, you know, is this little guy in a little dinghy on the top of the ocean, and I've got, in the dinghy, I've got a throne, and I've got a crown and a scepter, and I think I'm in charge.
Right.
But my ocean is me, and that's not me, you know, the small parts of me. So when we talk about it, you know, the whole thing that we talk about intention, quantum physics is showing us that my expectation forms the next moment from now. But it happens before a thought. My intention happens before a thought. So that means it's not who I think I am. It's not my thinking process. It's a deeper part of me that happens in the moment. And the part of me that reads the book or goes to the lecture and I'm told that my intention forms my reality, inappropriately believes that my rational thinking mind, who just heard that, is the one who's got the power. And it, no, that's the part of me that's being created by what happens from something that happens before I have a thought.
Right.
It's changing a fundamental aspect of my expectation of what the world is and my part in it.
And one of the things you seek to do with your patients is help them access those deeper states of their consciousness by going through the trapdoor of the conscious mind into the subconscious through techniques like brainwave entrainment.
And sound. I think that's why I think sound is the most powerful, because it's able to tap into the first experience that I've ever had of being alive in the womb. So it goes back as far as you can possibly go. And tap that and grab that part of me, the part of me that's the pure essential part of me before I've ever had a single experience.
So let me ask you then, is the sounds that we can make now mechanically through, you know, different machinery as powerful as the natural sounds that are from the earth?
Well, there is a debate that's out there in the sound world. There are people who, you know, there's a French sound therapist, Fabien Moumon. He thinks that only acoustic instruments directly can have a healing effect. I've had these debates with him in the years past. And then there's another sound practitioner in Ohio, Sherry Edwards, and she believes that only analog recording or analog instruments can have a healing effect and digital cannot. And on it goes, you know, and once sound comes out of a speaker, sound is sound. It's a mechanical energy wave. It's going to have an effect.
Mm-hmm.
that's kind of what's missing. You have all kinds of different ways of making sound. Sound from, certainly if I'm going to if I have a real cello and I'm playing that cello, then that has a quality of sound if I'm sitting right in front of it that is different than recording of that cello coming out of speakers.
Right, because the speaker in that case is reproducing the sound.
But you have to understand that there's a difference between a crappy recording and crappy speakers and audiophile recording equipment and audiophile speakers.
Right.
You can use technology to reproduce that cello so you can't tell the difference.
Well, and is there not also, if you're sitting and you're listening to a live recording like a person playing something live like that, their energy also that they are radiating for the love of what they're doing is also going to affect you?
Yes, there was a study done by a psychiatrist, John Diamond. He wrote a whole bunch of books on this. One of his books, he toured the world testing musicians and composers and testing people in audiences, listening to famous composed pieces of music from certain orchestras. And he was able to determine that certain pieces of music are obviously more healing than others. We're talking about classical music here, and have a tendency to strengthen a person and make them more healthy. And a soloist, say a violin soloist, who plays a certain piece of this kind of healing kind of music, the people in the audience will test out to have a more positive response. But if the person who's playing that solo is sick or under a lot of stress, then that changes the set of their muscles and the tension in their muscles, and it plays itself out through their interpretation of that music.
Yes,
and it causes a weakening response to the people who are hearing it, even though it's a healing piece of music.
Yes. Yes.
So wow. There's a lot of dynamics that are going on with that.
I would say we could actually probably do a 3-hour show just on those different dynamics.
Yeah. So if I'm sitting in front of this celloist or something, I'm being influenced by their own personal biological electromagnetic field coming off their body. That's mingling with mine. That's above and beyond the recording.
Yep.
But the recording would have the properties of, where are they at when they play this music?
That's right.
Because that's going to be frozen forever in this recording of that piece.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So as a musician and composer, if I'm specifically trying to compose a piece of healing music, then I'd better police myself to be in a good place before I produce it.
Or
whatever comes out of that is going to be forever frozen in time in that recording, affecting people.
That's right. Awesome. I love this whole conversation.
I want to go back for a second to the bio-tuning process because, you know, part of the clinical aspects of what you do, we'll get to the CDs in a minute, but the clinical aspects of what you do is, as you said, you have people laying on a table. It's a sound table. They're wearing earphones and they've got a light show over their eyes. Right.
Yeah, so let me just explain it quickly. in its present form, and this has evolved over, 30 years, it's gone through a series of changes. But right now, I have this special sound table that I developed that's got, you're basically laying on speakers, a sounding board with low frequency transducers attached to the sounding board. It's not really speakers. It's something that specializes in low frequency vibrations. And the table in this case is split down the middle. I just got a patent on that this last year, where the table is split lengthwise down the middle. So there's really two tables. There's a right table and a left table that don't communicate with each other. And I'll explain that in a second. It's like headphones for your body. and you got headphones on, the right ear can't hear what the left ear is hearing.
Right.
So with this table, the right body can't hear, can't feel what the left body is feeling, and vice versa. The reason for that is because it does things specifically to the nervous system to balance it that can't be done any other way. So the sound table, the reason I had to develop that was to deliver the low-frequency vibrations into the body, the 500 hertz and below. The functioning of the body, like I said before, has got this automatic functioning part. And then it's got the rational thinking part that is not involved in controlling the function of my body directly. The automatic part is called the autonomic nervous system, the automatic functioning nervous system, the autonomic nervous system. And it accomplishes all of that by two huge giant branches of nerves, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. And those two branches of nerves are like a seesaw from each other. When one is on, the other is off. And it's how the body mobilizes energy from various areas in the body and pumps it to other places to fight for my life or to heal me or to digest my food. Mm-hmm. So for the fight or flight response, when I have a fight or flight response and think I'm threatened, a cascade of events happens that's very well understood in medicine. The sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system turns on. The parasympathetic turns off. And energy is mobilized from my gut, my elimination system, my immune system, my higher brain centers, and pumped into my muscles to fight for my life. So I get a supercharge of energy, and I become actually super strong and super fast in my reflexes. And it's a straw fire. It burns out quickly.
Right. And
so you get exhausted from that quickly, and then you have to recover. So then the sympathetic is supposed to turn off after this fight or flight thing is over and go back to a neutral state called homeostasis, where neither the sympathetic or the parasympathetic are doing anything. They're exactly equalized. So neither one of them is dominant. That means I'm not fighting or flighting, and I'm not digesting and healing, or I'm in neutral.
It's crossover.
It's a zero point of energy use. It's where I am, all my energy is back in my reservoirs. I'm in my martial arts stance, biologically centered. So that from that standpoint, I can jump and do, mobilize my energy to fight for my life, come back to homeostasis, mobilize my energy to go and digest my food or heal, come back to homeostasis. I should be in homeostasis all the time. And there's clinical procedures to check your current state of health by how effectively that autonomic system is functioning, right? So when I'm standing up, gravity's pulling the blood out of my head to my feet, and I would faint and die. So right. The baroreceptors in my carotid arteries signal my blood pressure to go up by kicking the sympathetic nervous system up a little bit. That should collapse when I lay down. No gravity stress. I should push in the clutch in 3 minutes. So now a patient comes to my office. I have this very sophisticated device, medical monitoring system. It's called real-time heart rate variability. And all that means is I can put some wrist sensors on you and see your autonomic nervous system live on my computer screen. I can see the sympathetic. I can see the parasympathetic updated every second, so I can watch it. And I can see if it pushes the clutch in 3 minutes. And I've been hooking every patient up now for 17 years. That's thousands and thousands of patient visits. And nobody's got a normal nervous system. I can count on a single hand how many people have pushed in the clutch after in 3 minutes, laying on their back. After five yeah. minutes, after 10 minutes, the sympathetic is solidly on and it's not moving.
We're so used that to walking around in this excited state.
Yeah. We're walking yeah. around running a continual fight or flight response that never ends. And in looking at that over a while, I started to realize this really is kind of a abnormal new 21st century disease. It's a disease of chronic tonicity of the sympathetic part of the autonomic nervous system. Boy, what a mouthful that is. It means that we're running a fight or flight response all the time. And why would we be doing that? And because our physical bodies were designed for a natural environment, you know, X number of millions of years ago.
Right.
And it takes hundreds of thousands of years of evolutionary diversion to adapt to a new environmental situation. But environmental situations happen slowly over tens of thousands of years and gives us time to adapt to it. But the what we see in the technological advances in the 21st century and the 20th century has only happened in 200 years.
Right.
I mean, it's such a small little tiny blink of time in biological evolutionary terms that we're going to need another 100,000 years of biological evolution to meet the challenges of the stresses we're faced with today.
So the sound and vibration, the sound and vibration therapy is a way of accessing that most directly.
Correct. Which is, now we can use high-tech sound and monitoring devices to save us from the technology that's destroying our world.
And to me, Jeff, you're one of the world's foremost experts in psychoacoustics and neuroacoustics. I've known you over 20 years. And I don't know the exact number, but you've composed and published probably over 100 CDs by now using brainwave entrainment techniques, and not counting the thousands that you've created for your patients and for businesses. Would you mind just a little shameless self-promotion, please?
Well, I mean, you walk down a path that that excites you and gets your juices flowing, and then the universe opens things up for you, and you stumble on one thing after another. One thing leads to another. You know, I think I've got something like 100 soundtracks out there at this point.
Yeah.
You can see them on the website. You can go to the sound store and click on them and hear them if you want to. And then the other part of the website has got articles, the scientific part. What's the science behind all this? But I've had my work part of a research project funded through NIH, University of Virginia Medical School. You know, I left Virginia because this was getting too weird. I mean, they were hassling me for writing articles in the newspaper every week about different diseases and a holistic approach.
Right.
I had to defend myself at the medical board. And I'm thinking, well, what are they going to say about this idea of resonating brainwaves with sound frequencies?
Right.
I think I'd better go someplace where I'm not going to get locked up for these ideas, you know, and that's California. So that's when I moved here in 1988. And so here I am being paid by NIH to fly back to Virginia, the very place I left, because it's too crazy, you know. So that was a ka-ching moment for me.
Not coincidental, but quite scripted cosmically. Our problem is we do live in a dimension that measures time and space, and so we kind of have to wind up your interview. Not that anyone wants to.
Yeah.
Anyone listening to you knows how much wonderful information you have. So what is your website, Jeff, and how can people get a hold of you?
We have a brand new website that has just come up, so some of the links don't work, so forgive me for that. It's coming. That's called scientificsounds.com. That's plural. Scientific Sounds. And the other one, the website we've had up for years, which is eventually going to be taken off, that's neuroacoustic.com. N-E-U-R-O, acoustic.com.
So I have to ask you, if there was one specific thing that you could tell our listeners to help them self-empower themselves, and they're not able to come and see you personally on your table, what would that be?
Well, we have this wonderful, every house has got a tailor-made reflective acoustic room that we don't take advantage of. It's called a shower.
Take advantage of the shower. Believe me.
So you're standing in the shower. I know this sounds like a joke, but you're standing in the shower, and there's this beautiful warm water coming down all over you, and you're in this beautiful state, right? Now you meditate. Now you get into a standing meditation. Let your breath go out. Let it relax. Let that water be coming down on you. Get into this place. And out of that place, take a big, giant breath and let it out, big breath, let it out, big breath, let it out. And in the third breath, vibrate your vocal cords. Let that breath be a sound. Because the sounds that we make are affected by our state.
Right.
And so if you get into a nice meditative state, a beautiful meditative state in a sound chamber, make that sound, because the sound that comes out, I guarantee, is about 95% very close to your fundamental frequency. I did years of research with this.
It's very
beautiful.
We
can hook you up to medical monitors. We can find this frequency that balances your autonomic nervous system. We can see it on the screen. But if we have a person get into a meditative state and sing any tone, it doesn't matter what it is, it really does matter, but you don't tell people that. If you can let that sound out, it's about 95% already there.
So listeners, get in the shower, get yourselves ready, set yourselves up, and just chant away.
Chant that tone.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This has just been absolutely wonderful. Do you have any upcoming classes that you would like to share? Because we've only got a few more minutes left here.
Yeah, I have it written down on a sheet here. April 27th to May 26th. That's my next one. I have a 10-day holistic practitioner's certification course. That's that one. The next one is October.
And that's 12th. In San Diego.
Yeah, down here in San Diego, October 12th to 21st. Those dates are on the website. It's a section of the website on upcoming events like that.
And if people ever lose their way, they can always go to our website too, which is lightnews.org. You know, if they ever need more information about you and somehow can't find you, Jeff. Were you going to say, Dave?
I was going to say, and they can contact your beautiful assistant, Betty Jane, at neuroacoustic.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And Jeff has a huge variety of CDs available for different types of brainwave entrainment, whether it's for study or relaxation or sleep. And you can get those at his sound store on his website, scientificsounds.com. So, Jeff, Deirdre, and I just so appreciate you and your friendship and the amazing work that you do. I've gone out of my way purposefully many times over the years to promote you because I so believe in what you're doing and how many people you're helping.
Well, thank you. All contributions gratefully accepted. You know that, anytime.
Well, I hope the next time I'm down in San Diego, I can meet you. So it'd be nice to put a face to the phone that's sitting on my Skype screen.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
And quickly, Dee, what do we have coming up?
So we have coming up some events. Well, I think what I would really like to do is let you know that on the 25th of February, we will have Reverend Debbie U. Harriet, President of the Universal Church of the Master, as our guest. And I'm really looking forward to that. She was ordained on Monday, January. Oh, my goodness. What was the date that she was ordained?
I believe it was the Tuesday, the 14th.
Oh, that's right. Tuesday, the 14th of January. So it'll be nice to be able to have her on. And we're always looking for people who would like to come on air and be a part of our program. So please send me an email at info@lightnews.org and a brief bio of who you are and what has brought you on your spiritual path. And we can talk about having you on our radio show. Also, some upcoming events are that Dr. Jelicic has been in Indianapolis, he's been in San Diego, he's been in Calgary, traveling all over the place, but he's starting new groups, and he'll have a new group in Indianapolis starting up, a new in Indianapolis, Indiana. He'll have a new group starting in Camrose, Alberta, Canada. He's got events that are ongoing and coming up at the Tibetan Healing Academy in San Diego. You can always visit our website, www.lightnews.org, Or you can find us on Facebook at Light News, on Twitter at lightnews.org. And we look forward to hearing from you and hearing from anyone out there with questions about upcoming shows or shows that have already been aired. And maybe there's some questions or answers that you didn't get and you want more information. We can certainly put you in tune with the people who were on those shows and get you those answers.
Well, thank you, Dee, so much. As usual, you've covered all of the bases. And I think we had one of our more spectacular shows today because, as you can see, you know, once Jeff gets started, there's just so much to know.
And I never I'm sorry, but I never got to half the questions I wanted to ask.
Well,
them.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we kind of have to stick to the point because in space and time, we're kind of limited. But we do thank you for listening to Light News Radio. It is about realms of self-empowerment. Everything we do is to help you to live your life more effectively, to be more, to be more self-actualized, more in tune with what is your natural state, as Jeff so adroitly pointed out. So again, you can check out our website, calendar events at lightnews.org. And again, we just so appreciate all of you people who come and listen and partake. And we do have quite a lineup of guests that we're going to be having this year through 2015. So we do ask you to stay attuned. And of course, may the principles of harmlessness and compassion be the ever-present, ever-constant guide of your every intention, your every thought, and your every action. And so it is, and so it shall be, it is done. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for joining Dr. J and Deirdre on Light News Radio. Please join us again in 2 weeks, same time, for more exciting tools and techniques for self-empowerment.